Everyone is a football guy, obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50, change my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
Can we just become best friends?
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We're 10-3. Wouldn't say we have a terrible team.
Yeah, I love it.
Do not have anything to add. Do not have anything to add.
I don't have any comment on any of that stuff.
Hey, roll.
That's a factor.
Okay, Brady is the new okay boomer.
Yeah, I love it.
Yep, so what's the question?
Do you have a sense of where the disconnect happened, where the production team...
I don't have anything to add to it. I don't know how many times I need to say that.
Brady sucks. Yeah. All right, Tom.
You know, Fitzy, we come in here, we do this show. Some weeks it's 4 hours, some weeks 5 hours, some weeks an hour. We never really know exactly how much time we're going to have here.
Well, that's very existential, and it's true of the show, and it's true of life. Quick question, though. Is last week's BC postgame show over yet?
Probably not. Okay. You know, very exciting BC game. It's been a busy week for BC. New coach.
Right.
You know, you've got a lot of things happening with BC.
Just
so
checking.
If you'd rather sit here and essentially be the pregame for the next BC postgame, we could do that as well.
So okay. we're the postgame pregame.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, just wanted to lock in. By the way, Army-Navy coming up today at 3 o'clock after your boys Gilroy and Fitz here on the Oddballs on EEI. If you've never been, I've heard a lot of people say like, oh, hey, Army-Navy coming up Saturday at 3 o'clock. That's on my bucket list. I'd always wanted to go to that. It should be a good time. I spent 3 years doing a TV show for CBS Sports Network called Tailgate Fan, where I basically kind of did Dave Attell Insomniac for tailgates, little diners, drive-ins, and dives, showing you where to go, who to meet, what to eat, rituals, fight songs, etc. The Army-Navy tailgate is truly one of the great times in sports. If you've ever been, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, put it on that sports fan bucket list. You will never see more fun, bigger smiles, just pure joy and an appreciation for everything that makes this country great. And by what makes this country great, those who served, yeah, but mostly just every kind of food and drink and smoke you could imagine under the sun being enjoyed by people who have given it up for this great country. Awesome time.
And nowhere in my show notes was there anything about Army-Navy. But see, that's what I get with you, Fitzy.
See?
Fitzy comes in here, and despite what we've prepared for, despite the show that is on tap for you all, mm-hmm. Fitzy comes in here full of surprises, full of information,
right.
And a small little humble brag, too, which I give you credit for.
Every week, there's got to be at least one humble brag, just to drive you nuts in the first hour.
Nobody does it quite as well as you do, either. You act like, oh, I'm just
Make
Fitzy.
Make them organic.
It's no big deal. But, you know, oh, I had this TV show for 3 years. I did this. I did that.
Well, to be honest, you know, dude, if I shout out the windows here at EEI, more people will probably hear me than saw me on CBS Sports Network. just being honest. But it's a great... Now, the game itself, watching wallpaper get peeled off.
Sure.
Yeah,
but
it's like watching paint dry. But the experience itself, the flyovers, the song, the tradition, and also they all love nothing more. I think I heard a bunch of Army-Navy guys refer to... the Air Force as the military's Uber. So they love just busting on each other. It's awesome.
So it is Sports Radio WEEI. It is Fitzy. It is Gilroy. The Oddballs here with you guys today until 3 o'clock. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. And Fitzy, first of all, we got to check your well-being. You're doing okay. I imagine it's been a rough couple of weeks mm-hmm. for Fitzy. Just to be Fitzy, mm-hmm. it's got to be an exhausting thing anyways. But to be Fitzy when the Patriots are kicking ass and they're winning and they're the favorite every week, that's one thing. I'm sure that's one experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple of weeks, do people come to you on the street now? Do people come to you, whether it's family, friends, strangers, looking for answers that you just can't no longer give here? Is that part of the experience of being Fitzy?
Tell me it's going to be okay. Talk me off that wall. They got to figure this out, right? I went last Sunday, and yes, I will say that it's exhaustive just managing multiple personalities and giving yourself to perpetual super fandom. I'd love to have some of your first world football problems, guy. I digress. It's great doing what I do. But yes, it's thoroughly exhausting. That said, the best content, the best reactions, the best material is always generated, unfortunately, in times of duress and defeat. It's probably more difficult to try to do what you do when things are going hunky-dory. Like, now I know what to do. Now I get an idea of what to say, and I've got more distinct POV and, you know, hot takes to share like candy canes, because earlier in the season, when they were kind of just like a paper 8-0 and enjoying the extended preseason, just rolling over garbage teams. What were you going to say? Like, oh, another week where the offense doesn't look great, but they'll figure it out. But this defense is something. Beware the boogeyman. Now we actually have material to work with. Now we got something to chop up and parse out. Now we're in the nitty gritty. This is football season. When people come to me and they're like, who's going to step up, Fitz? Who's going to be that guy? Hey, what's up with Michelle? How come this offensive line can't come together? Why don't they put in Harry more often? The answer is, I don't know.
And that's the thing.
I don't know. I'm still busy, Gilroy, sitting by my door, not waiting for all the Amazon packages that I've ordered for Christmas because I don't have any time to physically Christmas shop. And by the way, who still goes to malls? You should. It's an American thing. Get out there. Serve your country. I'm not just waiting so I make sure that my Amazon packages don't get stolen off my porch. I'm waiting for the envelope, or at least the phone call, that comes from the NFL that says, sorry, we took away two touchdowns, and there were three ridiculous, if not egregious, non-calls last Sunday that screwed your football team.
Okay,
so where are they?
So I want to go there. Okay, I'm glad you started there, because you go back to last week's game. We can all agree that the Chiefs, they're a very good football team, okay? They might not be quite
as... a better defense than everyone thought it was.
Look, we said that last week, but they might not be as dominant as they were last year. But the fact is, they're a very good football team. They've got great position skill players, and they're coached well. All that being said, to beat the Chiefs, if the Patriots were operating at 90% of their capacity or 90% of their ability, to beat the Chiefs is a challenging proposition to begin with. So now you've got the Patriots struggling, sort of plodding along here, having a hard time, and you have to beat the officiating. But I feel like, I almost feel like a scumbag. Can you beat a team like the Chiefs when you get two touchdowns taken off the board? Not two potential touchdowns, two guaranteed touchdowns taken off the board.
Two guaranteed. You remember the commercial in the 1980s for that potato chip company?
I guarantee.
And that guy was like, these are going to be the best chips you ever had. I guarantee. Two guaranteed touchdowns taken off the board. Now, my final score prediction, I believe last week, was 24-23. I thought it was going to be a nail biter, and it was. I lost half my voice. I had the agony of defeat voice for a good 48 hours, screaming my footballs off. You could hear me halfway through and all around the stadium. And by the way, A, I didn't boo. I would never boo during the Tom Brady era. I'm still shaming people from booing Adam Vinatieri when he showed up in a Colts uniform back in 2012. I would never boo anybody wearing a Patriots uniform, especially during the Tom Brady era.
Hold on, you know.
And that tailgate was flatter than dinnerware, flatter than a Russian ballerina, flatter than a desktop. There was no energy there last Sunday. I was so disappointed in Pats fans last Sunday, Gilroy. Some people cited the cold. Some people cited holidays. I'm walking around just thinking, like, guys, just because the defense is mostly getting it done. And yeah, the Patriots have sucked on Sunday Night Football for the past 2 years, and they got it handed to them by the Texans when we didn't think they would a week prior. This is a rematch of one of the greatest AFC championships in history. There's playoff seeding. There's a potential number one seed at stake, and everyone was just waiting around. You know what it's like? It's like all these other guys that are circling Brady and Edelman going, which one of us is going to step up? It's like every fan at that friggin' parking lot and then sitting in all those red seats in the stadium was waiting for someone else to get excited, make a play, or do something.
They had no reason to get excited. Are you really getting on the fans, right? Are you serious right now?
Yes.
You want the fans to get up and what? Stand and cheer for past performance? The fact is, you know this as a sports fan. We went through it last year as Celtics fans. As the year went on last year, fans got more and more frustrated. Look, it is very easy for Celtics fans to love the Celtics. That's what they do.
Right.
Ordway's cute little team. The reason why that matters is because as long as the Celtics play hard and are competitive, the fans will embrace the team. This Patriots team, I'm sorry, right now, they are not fun to watch. They're frustrating as all hell. Nobody's got the answers. And not for nothing, the reason why they got booed at halftime, and you know this, Fitzy, is because what they did in the final minute of that first half was the most unpatriot-like thing I've ever seen them do. They quit. They stopped playing. The Patriots always go to the final bell. That's what they do. And they didn't do that. They quit with like a minute to go in the half. It was so unpatriot-like. Everything about this team right now reminds me nothing of the Patriots that I've seen over the years. Because teams right now, if you're the Patriots, even if they lose games, you start to see incremental improvements. You start to see guys define their roles.
They fought at the end of the Houston game. I understand it was garbage time, but the offense got, you know, they got some. They got minor garbage prevent defense mojo. So at least we thought they might be able to carry some of that into the next game. And guess what? On that first drive,
they did. But then they
great.
Handed the momentum right
trick
back.
Play. And well, no, they didn't hand the momentum right back. They just did nothing with it. And this is what drove me freaking nuts about last Sunday's game. Sure, we can sit here and we can go on and 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 on about the non-calls, the blown calls, and the two guaranteed touchdowns that the Patriots were taking away. Not to mention the fact that Philip Dorsett wore a coat made out of a human defender. Like that guy, like who was it? Kendall Fuller, I believe, was literally draped on him. He was wearing him the same way a koala like holds on, those little old clip-on koalas go onto your rearview mirror. And of course, they didn't call it. But I digress. The Patriots had so many opportunities to get ahead early.
They did.
And they just squandered them. And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's a bunch of people's. That touchdown was James White, Flea Flicker, Brady, Edelman. That's who's been getting it done. You understand why now that those are the only guys that he knows to what to do with or how to work with, because that's where he's got his trust. Okay, they get the ball back on the Chiefs 40 after the J.C. Jackson pick, right? Okay. Guys, go up 10-0. Go up 14-0. Don't put this game away, but then give yourself the padding and the opportunity you need, knowing that you are struggling on offense. Three garbage plays in a row, punt the ball away. Next thing you know, they can't get pressure on Mahomes. The lucky pass to Mecole Hardman with Jonathan Jones in coverage. This, that, and the other. Next thing you know, an early 7-0 lead that could have been 10-0 or 14-0 Pats is 20-7 Chiefs.
So the Patriots...
And a blocked field goal where, guess what? Marshall Newhouse was like, hello, Chiefs, right this way.
But the Patriots are flat. Offensively, flat. They've been flat all year. So how the hell can you get on the fans for being flat? That's what I'm getting back to here.
Just, you don't boo Tom Brady. You don't boo.
You know what? The team got booed. And they deserve to get booed, Fitzy. They did.
That's too early to boo.
It's not too early to boo. The fact is, this was supposed to be the test, right? We all
talked
about
did their offensive ineptitude not pair well with your Lobster Newberg, everyone in the nice seats?
We talked about this test for weeks leading up to this five-game stretch. And so far, they have failed the test. So, do you expect fans to rally behind a team? Again, make the comparison to the Celtics last year, year over year. So, from the year prior to last year's team, mm-hmm. their television ratings went down 24%. Mm-hmm. That 24% represents everybody else. You've got your diehards, as the Patriots do.
Right.
That 24% is everybody else. Everybody else are the people that make all the noise. They're the people that get behind the team, that make an atmosphere, whether it's at the Garden or at Gillette. The fact is, the Patriots had a terrible atmosphere last week because their play has been terrible, and the fans are simply responding to the play on the field. You know this, Fitzy.
But at the same time, they could use you. Like you,
It's the fans' fault the team sucks right now.
No, it's not the fans' fault that the team sucks right now. But for the love of God, I mean, for what this team has done, at least while you see Bill Belichick and Tom Brady out there, you should be giving them everything you have as often as you possibly can. And no, it's not that everyone's job to like, hey, we see you guys are struggling out there. You're having a hard time. Well, we'll pick you up. We'll be the Kickstarter. We'll be the catalyst. Hey, everybody, 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Pats. Let's go, Pats. No, I'd want to throw myself off the 300 seats. I'd want to pitch myself off the light tower in the end zone if we walked in with that sort of like, good job, good effort kind of attitude. That's not who we are. We're salty. We're bitter. We're miserable. This is New England. Welcome to the 617 guy. I get it. I just thought it was a preemptive booing. It wasn't entirely unnecessary, as frustrated as all of us were. That said, it's going to go back to this for the third time in the first break on the show today. Who is going to be the guy
Nobody,
to step up?
It's not happening. That's the thing. They are what they are.
Well, at least N'Keal Harry made a play. He was in for
it got taken
two
away.
Snaps.
The play never happened. It got taken away. It's off the board.
Oh, no, it happened. He stepped out of bounds at the three. And by out of bounds, I mean there were 6 inches between his foot and the friggin' sideline.
It's funny, Fitzy, because I knew coming into today that you were going to absolutely bring up the officiating. And look, it was terrible. I get that. But the fact is, they still only put up 16 points. That's what they got. And now we're sitting here.
They put up 30. The scoreboard said 16.
I'm seeing predictions for tomorrow's game where people are, this is the week the offense is going to break free. They're going to score.
It's a get-right game,
score.
Bro.
Isn't that what Mark James said on the way out the door?
And I disagreed with him politely, but I disagreed with
him. It's not. There's no such thing as a get-right game right now. It just isn't, because the Patriots, they no longer have that that ability to be that much better. They're not head and shoulders better than anybody right now. And if they go into a game assuming victory because it's a lesser opponent,
right,
that's the type of game where they're going to get stomped on. And I will ask you this before we go to the break.
Stomped on. No, you mean what they're going to do is they're going to underwhelm offensively again. And the defense is going to win the game for them because they just came out of the gauntlet that I thought they were going to go 4-1 in, 2-3.
The Patriots are vulnerable right now. Their opponents can sniff it out, okay? A team like the Bengals, it's going nowhere. What do they have to play for this season? Nothing.
But I've had Bengals fans, friends, text me and say, I hope the Patriots win by 100 Sunday because we don't want to blow Joe Burrow. We don't want to lose Joe Burrow. Excuse me.
I mean, it is what
we don't want to lose.
I have a bad feeling about tomorrow's game, especially if Edelman doesn't play, right? So here's the thing. Edelman, I believe I heard you on Greg Hill's show this week saying, well, maybe if he doesn't play, it'll be a good thing because it'll force Brady to use Jacoby Myers.
I wondered aloud if you could find lemonade at the bottom of that bucket of lemons if Edelman didn't play, could this force Brady to throw it to the human Vaseline machine that is Jacoby Myers? Could they be forced to run a hurry-up offense, if you will, and get Nikhil more involved? Could they maybe look the way of the tight ends? Or maybe they'll just say, hey, Rex Burkhead, how about our good old-fashioned revenge game against your former team?
Or
Sanu.
Could they look potentially worse than what they've looked? And that's what I'm afraid of.
That would be difficult.
Because if they look worse than what they've been in recent weeks, my God, that would be ugly. But this does not resemble anything compared to other Patriots teams. And I heard this, Zoe said this the other day. And look, I love Zoe's optimism. I wish that there was a radio world that we lived in where I could hear you and Zoe do a show together because you're both such supreme optimists. The world needs more people like you. But all that being said,
and Zoe yelled at me in the parking lot after the game when I was doing a Facebook Live. He yelled, go home, Fitzy. And I was like, Zoe, we need you right now. And he said that call was horse blank. And I love hearing an announcer go off mic. I wish we could swear in the public airways more often because nothing would have made me happier than Zoe being like, fine, here's the $25,000. That call was horse blank. God.
You know, but I heard Zoe talking about this year's team compared to last year's team and essentially saying, well, last year's team, you know, everybody says that the Patriots peak in December. That's when we get the best version of the Patriots heading into the playoffs. But last year's team, they lost 2 in a row in December, mm-hmm. and there were some ugly moments last year. But this year's team, I don't know. Maybe it's just because there's been 12 months since we experienced it last. It feels different to me. And I don't know if that's just me being so far disconnected from what last year's team was, because let's face it, they reinvented themselves exactly when they had to going into the playoffs. They became a team that we weren't sure they could become. A defense first, running first type of team where Tom Brady was asked just not to screw it up. And that's what happened. And it was a formula for success.
And it was different. And it turned out, and we all thought, oh, this is going to be boring. But it was a different kind of football and it was a different kind of sexy. Right now, I have no idea what this team is. I really don't. I've been saying for weeks, I know they're the Patriots. I know they still have Tom Brady. I wouldn't say a facsimile of him. I'm just not sure mentally or emotionally which Tom Brady we have right now. I know we have Belichick. I don't believe Belichick is checked out just because we see a different version of him, one who gave a lot of himself to this NFL 100 and all these documentaries in the offseason. I know Gronk's not coming back, and I'm thrilled he made the NFL 100 all-time players team. That's great. They have what they have, but I can't say they are what they are because I really just do not know what they are right now.
All right, so we got one segment down. We still haven't mentioned Spygate 2.0.
I'm fine without it because it is the biggest nothing burger in the history of this town.
It can be a nothing burger, but the fact is it's something and it's going to become even more of something. The question is, what do the Patriots do with that something? Is there the possibility that this team could rally around yet another scandal? You go back to scandals of years past. What happened the year of the scandal? They wound up winning the damn Super Bowl those times.
They went to one.
You know, could they? Because right now I look at this team and I don't see a team that's capable of getting to a Super Bowl. But is there the possibility that they could use this as an internal rallying cry? Is there a way to turn this into something positive? The league still hasn't definitively said what's going to happen here. We can call it a nothing burger all we want, but the fact is this, they put themselves in a position that they couldn't afford to put themselves in, okay? Mm-hmm. They have to know that when they're playing with cameras, they have to be a little bit more diligent, more careful than other teams.
Of course.
And they weren't. So now the punishment may come. What that punishment is, you've heard Patriot Optimist talk about a $100,000 fine, maybe a 6-round pick. You've heard other people say, don't let them play in the playoffs. I mean, it's going to run the
gamut. They're not going to get the death penalty, for God's sake.
This isn't
SMU.
Just saying, there's something out there, okay?
I know. Listen, there is a big, ugly shoe to drop, and I know Oh, I know Goodell is going to let Troy Vincent polish that shoe, lace it up nice and tight, and he's going to let it drop as loud as he wants to when he wants to as well. And I can't wait for it. Just like the same way Belichick can't wait to give you the injury report every Wednesday, I can't wait until Troy Vincent does that. Fine, give us a reason to rally. You know what? If this team can't figure out who they are, then maybe they're just going to be a discombobulated island of misfit football players that are pissed off en masse, and maybe that'll be just enough to get them going in the right or a positive direction.
It's possible. None of the other answers that we've come up with in recent weeks have wound up working, so maybe this one will be the one. We'll figure it out here. Look, you guys, we see you on the line. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to your phone calls when we come back. It is Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
So speaking of dealing with things, what have you done for me lately? You think it was appropriate to be booed by the hometown fans?
Yeah, well, that's part of being in sports is, you know, everybody's got a chance to cheer you or boo you. And there's been plenty of times where they've been, cheering us. And again, you take the good with the bad. They have every right to boo when we're not playing the way that we're capable. You know, for me, I'm focused on what I got to do to go in there at halftime to do a better job. And we've been booed before. It won't be the last time, and that's okay. It doesn't hurt our feelings. It's just they're expressing themselves and our opportunity to go express ourselves and go back out on the field to try to score some points.
Do you hear it?
Yeah. We got 70,000 people out there. It's not like, you know, it's pretty loud. But, that's what fans do.
Tom Brady right there. Jim Gray.
Tom, of course, that inquiry was brought to you by Macy's.
And again, you know, Tom, he's been doing this for 20 years. It's not the first time the fans have booed the team off the field. I, of all the things for you to latch on to start the program, to me that was kind of surprising because they deserved it. They deserve to, yes, to hear it from the fans.
And I'm not saying like, wow, we're so spoiled here. How could you boo a 10-2 team?
It's kind of what you said.
No, I say you can't boo Tom Brady.
Okay, but
he's unbooable.
Tom Brady's sharing
unbooable.
He's sharing the field with other players. So what do you do? Just not boo because Tom Brady happens to be on the field with guys that deserve to get booed? How does that work?
I don't know. Maybe like a murmur or a grumbling.
All right. The fact is, you got to take this team. And yeah, we can appreciate them for everything they've done, everything they've been. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in Tom's interview there with Jim Gray this week,
right,
he does sound a little bit more optimistic. And I'm not sure if it's because if you take the two touchdowns, mm-hmm, that got taken away, suddenly you scored 30 points and you win last week. I don't know if it's because of what the Patriots were able to do 2 weeks ago during garbage time and get the offense going a little bit. But it does seem to me that maybe Tom has turned the tide a little bit, at least internally, when it comes to his level of optimism for this team to sort of pull things together offensively.
That's a very good point. Good on you,
that's
Gilroy.
What I'm here for.
I like, but you're never usually as optimistic, if not more optimistic than I, in terms of the Patriots and where their efforts will lead them this season. I like the fact that you're hinting at some optimism. I like the fact that he wasn't excessively negative and that Brady wasn't entirely downtrodden, because I've heard him in defeat,
yes,
in previous seasons on the station, and he's more miserable than the weather that we've dealt with for the past 21 hours. He's dour. He's just flat out down. And it brings everyone else down because we're like, oh, well, buck up, little boy. Well, buck up, cowboy. What's going on, Tommy? We got to, hi, you okay, buddy? You okay, Goaty? So now he sounds like maybe they can turn the page, that maybe there is something, like you said, to latch onto. Maybe there is a glimmer of hope.
Maybe he's found something that we don't see yet, but he's seen it in practice.
They
I don't
never
know.
Stop. I'll tell you what I think it is. They never stop trying. They tried their asses off that fourth quarter. Now, why weren't they playing like that the whole game, though?
Good job, good effort.
No, so what I'm saying, it wasn't good job, good effort. It was
selective.
It was heart and hustle.
But it is
why,
selective.
Why in the fourth quarter? Why all of a sudden did it seem like they gave a blank? Like, McCourty makes that incredible strip on Travis Kelce. Granted, Gilmore should have taken it back for the strip sack return for 6, but he didn't because of the preemptive whistle, even though the referees said they wouldn't do that this year because it was a point of emphasis from the league offices. I digress. Where was all that for a while? It just, again, there was a lot of standing around and like, hey, what are we doing out here, guys? Where's the rudder? Where's the leadership on the field?
It's no different, Fitzy. And again, this is why I'm glad they put us together. It is no different than what Celtics fans went through for 82 games last year. Look, at the beginning of the season, they were picked to go win a championship or at least get to the finals. That's what every NBA pundit said. And the Celtics believed their own hype. So you throw the ball out there, roll the ball out there, and just because you're sharing the court with another team and you're expected to win, says all the pundits, Stephen A. Smiths of the world, the Celtics gave a half-ass effort. And so many times last year, they would be frustrating, play down to the level of their competition, and then with 6-7 minutes to go, they'd say, oh, crap, we're down by 10 to the Knicks. And they'd try to pull it together, but ultimately it was too little too late.
But look at this team this year. They're giving every inch, every second of every game.
Like, correct.
These Celtics are not asleep at the wheel. These Celtics aren't falling behind by leaps and bounds the way last year's team did. They're not blowing 28-point leads on a Saturday night against the Clippers. This team is actually giving it their all every minute of every game. And last week, we saw the Patriots open up big, fall asleep for almost three quarters, and then turn it back on.
But it's what we've seen all
season.
Why
can't they? But that's when I say, who's going to step up? It's the same as, why can't they play like that the whole game? I don't want to start going full Seinfeld, but like, why can't they just play like that the whole game?
Because I feel
like, why
don't
they build the whole box out of Gronk?
I'm going to tell you why. Because the Patriots knew through the first eight games of the season, they knew the level of the competition they were playing. They couldn't say it, but they knew it. They also know what they look. We see what we see.
So their schedule didn't prepare them for the gauntlet?
We see every week what we see on TV. But Tom and the rest of the Patriots see it all week long during practice. They know what headway they're not making. They know exactly what this team is missing. And it's almost like they've started to believe that maybe this is the year that they can't put it together. Maybe this is the year they don't have that next guy, that next option, that next answer.
What do you do? Quit?
You don't quit, but it's very hard to go out there and play at 110%. For the entirety of the game, when you know that you're overmatched, or you know that your offense is going to go three and out, or you know that if you march the team down the field, but it's a 45-yard field goal, you're probably not going to make it, not even attempt it these days. I mean, they've got so many things sort of barking back against them right now. It's got to be really, really hard to go out there and outwork your opponent every minute of every game if you feel like that work is going to be fruitless.
But that's what you have to do, period. These are the circumstances. These are the rules of engagement. These are the cards you're dealt. You can't piss and moan, like, dance with the girl you done brung to the dance. Like, this is what you have. You can't, like, look at, you can't look at, like, so every particular week, and we'll get to your calls in a second, every week, these football games, I like to think of them because, you know, basically everything, you know, works its way back to parenting, food, or Star Wars with me, right? So this week, I'll compare this Patriots offense and the way they play every Sunday to Chopped on the Food Network. You open up your basket, and here's what you have. You don't get to look at it and say, oh, man, I wish I had X, Y, and Z. Like, guess what? If you've got raspberry puree, squid, dark chocolate almonds, and sassafras, you better make the greatest dark chocolate almond sassafras taco, tamale, or risotto you possibly can, because these are the flavors and you got to make them work. Tom Brady, you're the chef. Your ingredients, as disparately assembled as they may be, are Matt Lacoste, Damian Harris, if you'd let him play, Isaiah Wynn and his one bad pirate eye, and freaking Hans McMyers. Go try to win the game, guy.
Okay, but if you get those ingredients once in a while, fine. But if you get them 100 times out of 100 times, eventually you throw your arms up and you say, I can't do it anymore. There is not enough creativity on the planet to make something delicious out of the crap that I've been given. You know, and this is not every once in a while. It's been every single week for months now where we sit here. And if we sit here out of frustration saying, who's going to step up? What the hell do you think Tom is saying? I mean, how do you think he's feeling? If you're frustrated, Fitzy, can you imagine the level of frustration that Tom has right now?
Yes, I will just tell you this. The first time I enjoyed watching the Patriots, this right here, this is real. The first time, or rather I should say, the most I enjoyed watching the Patriots in the past 2 months was the fourth quarter when they lost.
That says a lot. It says
a lot.
It
really
right there.
Says a lot. It reminded me, the heart and hustle they showed in the fourth quarter reminded me, and I even told my brother heading into this game, because I watch with him. That's who I usually do the pregame work with and all the video madness. I said, watch. Somehow, I just get this feeling that today's game is going to remind me of the December game in 2012 when the Niners, who were hotter than a $2 pistol, came in with Colin Kaepernick and King Crabtree at full capacity under Harbaugh, and they raced out to a 31-3 lead. And the Patriots clawed, scratched, and fought their way back into that game and tied at 31-31 and ultimately lost 38-31. It was the best effort. It was the most enjoyable loss, if such a thing is possible. And I saw some of that at the end of last week's game. They tried their asses off till the very end. Let's just hope that was the wake-up call as opposed to, like, just like a half-assed effort on the way out the door, and then we get wash, rinse, repeat football Patriot apathy again this Sunday in Cincinnati.
All right, it is Sports Radio WEI. It is the Oddballs. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. Let's grab some calls here. Let's go to Brian. Brian's in New London. Brian, you first up here on WEI.
How you doing?
What's up, Brian?
So there's 2 points I want to make, and I'm wondering if it has to do with the first point is Brady may not be there for these young guys' development, right? So I'm kind of wondering if their loyalty isn't quite, they're not quite vested in Brady psychologically.
Well, because they feel like he's not going to be there long term, so why should I give my all to Tom who's out the door?
Yeah, it's not only just give your all, but what, you know, manage your risk. I mean, because, you know, when you ask who's going to step up a couple of minutes ago, you know, if you step up and fail, they shoot you there. And look at Stidham, one game, several games back where, I don't know, they were ahead by 2 or 3 touchdowns.
That was game 3, and he came into the game, and he airmailed a pick, right?
Yeah, and they yanked him right away. They were winning. They would have won that game. They won that game. They would have won that game if they left him in there, but they yanked him real quick.
But Brian, one of the reasons why, let me just speak to that real quick, and we'll let you make your second point. But
sure.
The one thing that people sleep on sometimes with these Patriots, and one of the hallmarks, one of the cornerstones to their success over this double dynastic run, is they are so turnover averse. They are the most risk averse team in the NFL. They may have +100 fewer turnovers than the second place team over the span of their 6 Super Bowl wins. They just don't do it. So if someone's going to come in, get the yips, and overthrow somebody by 3 feet on a pass to a little option route in the flat, obviously he's not feeling it. Time to get him out of the game. That's why Stidham got pulled. I agree with you. If these guys don't run the right route or if they turn the ball over, yes, they do, quote, shoot you up in Foxborough. But I don't think these kids who have a chance to learn from, if not play and showcase their merit and worth alongside the greatest quarterback ever, would see that he's 1 foot out the door and then balk at giving it their best.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you could be right. I'm just throwing it out there.
Sure.
You got something else, Brian?
All right. That was it.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
We appreciate the phone call. So I know we wanted to take multiple calls, but I'm getting a voice in my ear that says, I must go to break now.
All right.
And when you look at our producers and the ones that we've had here, right?
Big bad Drew.
We've got some consistency now with Drew. And I don't want to alienate him, because if I alienate Drew and I just say, you know what, I'm going to take the next call. Screw whatever he says back there. I don't have to listen to the producer. He might not show up next week. And the fact is, we do a damn good show when Drew is behind the glass. So why would I want to piss him off?
That was the saddest radio to football analogy I think I've ever heard.
Maybe God, I try.
Nice try. You know what? Good job, good effort.
That's what I was going for right there. And see where it got me? It got me absolutely nothing, got me nowhere. And unfortunately, that's what's happening to your New England Patriots. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. Room for you guys when we come back at 617-779-7937.
More of what you want to hear, the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEI.
I was wondering, Tom Brady posted to Instagram today quoting a music artist saying, "We about to figure it out." Do you feel like the offense is kind of on the cusp of figuring things out?
Every week we try to prepare to play our best on Sunday. It's what we've always done. I don't see it any differently. The EFS has talked about that. I don't know.
Love that kid.
Do not have anything to add. It's my favorite new addition to the book of Belichick. Do not have anything to add is the new We're On to Cincinnati. And what a week. We are literally on to Cincinnati.
Hey, did you find it strange at all this week in listening to some of Belichick's press conference when he said he defended the team? He said, look, we're 10-3. And he was almost trying to play up the fact that they are 10-3 and ignore how they got to that point almost. Because when you look at their record as a whole, he's right. They're 10-3. It's sure. A very impressive record. If you didn't watch this team at all this season, you don't know what 3 games they lost. You don't know all the problems they had on the field. You're coming in from outer space, and you just look at their record, look where they are in the standings. He has every right to defend that record.
But if you came in from another town, or you were new to this planet, like you literally flew in on an alien ship, and yet you understood person and English, and you turned on the radio, or you read anything about the Patriots, you would think this team was the first team in history to have a negative record.
Yeah, you would. But the
they
fact
could literally be like negative 2-15.
The answer here, though, is they just need to cheat a little bit better, a little bit harder.
Oh, no, you did.
That's what they need to do, and we'll talk about their cheating options.
You didn't.
Hey, look, again, if I'm coming in from out of the country, out of the world, and I just happen to log on to Twitter this week, Patriots cheating has been leading the way on Twitter for the better part of the last 5 days. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, even today, what was it, 5 days post the breaking of Spygate 2.0, you just type Patriots in the search bar. The first suggested search is Patriots cheating. Mm-hmm. So the fact is, we can sit here and minimize what they did and make sense of what they did. But that damn perception, which we talk about all week long, every week, perception is more powerful than reality. The perception, once again, is that the Patriots are cheaters. So if you're going to have that perception anyways, you might as well cheat. Freaking cheat. Do something to help your cause. Because the talent on the field right now, Fitzy, I'm not going to sit here for the next hour mm-hmm. and talk about who's going to step up. I don't know. This team doesn't have an identity. They got to do something, because what they've done through the first 12, 13 weeks, that ain't going to get it done in the postseason.
Guy, it's the, like I said, there's 0.0 to the story. The Spygate 2.0, it was shuttered by the studio before it even went into casting, let alone production. If you got to cheat to get a competitive advantage or to get the decisive momentum building victory you think you need against the 1-12 Bengals.
Hey,
then shut it down. Like Grid 212 outside Nakatomi Plaza. Shut it down.
If the Patriots go into tomorrow's game with the same mentality that you have, where they're the 1-whatever Bengals and they suck, so the Patriots should just win the game easily. If they go in with that complacent attitude, mm-hmm. guess what? They're going to expose themselves to a potential loss.
No, I don't think that they should take the Bengals for granted. I'm not going to give out my prediction just yet, and I know in the second hour we'll find maybe a little time to analyze the game, or fanalize it, if you will, to a degree where we'll understand what the Bengals present versus what I think the Patriots can or need to do. But that said, the Bengals don't want to win. The Bengals do not want to win this game, even as badly as Zach Taylor would love to show you up after the donut that is Spygate 2.0. They do not want to win this game because it would cost them the number one draft pick and it would cost them the Heisman Trophy winner. They do not want to win this game.
All right, it is Sports Radio WEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's grab Blair. Blair's in Maine. Blair, you're next up here on WEI.
Oh, my God. Okay, I can't throw my crap away in the trash can because I got to get on you now, boy. I got to get on you,
all right,
Patrick, for saying what you said.
What did I say?
Thank you, Blair. Welcome to the party.
What did I say?
I heard you. You just said pretty much they got to cheat to win, right?
I did. Mm-hmm. I suggested maybe a little cheating. Right now, things aren't going well.
You did. You admit it. You got to admit it now because you said it and I heard it. I had my phone in my ear and I heard it. And you are in trouble with me because I'm one of your best friends. And I love you, Patrick, but you cannot say that on the air. It's like what I said, too, that the Patriots can cheat to win. But they can't. It's not allowed in football. They should never be allowed to do it. It shouldn't be allowed at all. But they did it, and I don't think they're going to get away with it. And I love the Patriots to death, but I'm not happy with it. But it doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean it's all right. But the Patriots will still win tomorrow because they're playing a lousy team. But it's not all right to do ever. It is a big no-no.
Okay. Thank you,
it's a big
Blair.
No-no.
The voice of reason checking in from Maine, of all places.
Love Blair. And you notice how he said that he loves me. I'm his best friend. Mm-hmm. There's a long-standing relationship there between Blair and I. He was a regular when I was doing more late nights, and Blair's a good guy, but he gets very emotional. He gets very emotional, and he gets very protective of his teams, much like you do. Mm-hmm. And when I say something like,
because this is my blanking city.
It is your blanking city, and I get that. I do. But nobody here has the ability to actually look at the Patriots for what they are. We all want to look at what they've been instead of what they are. And the fact is this, and I said this to you a couple weeks ago, and I'll stand by it. The NFL has been trying desperately for years to have this parity sort of blanketed all over the league. And every year, multiple teams should have an opportunity, even if it's an outside opportunity, to have success in the postseason. And that's what they want. That way, they've got all these different markets involved and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, the Patriots have been head and shoulders better, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year, they've come down to the pack a bit, and that pack has risen up to them a bit. So when you look at this team,
it's only a matter of time.
I don't have that same level of faith and confidence that you do, that Blair does, that they're going to figure it out, because the evidence based on this year, what we've seen this year, is not there.
You're going to hear from a lot of people that because they did that last year after losing two games in December, that they're just going to, quote, figure it out. That because they've gone to eight straight AFC championships, that because they've been in three straight Super Bowls and four of the last five, that they're just going to figure it out. I do believe in the brain trust, and I will always have faith in the triple Bs, Bobby Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. The killer Bs are the way and the light, and there's a reason to trust in them. What you just did, though, to me, is push broom sports radio, where you're just kind of sweeping everything together because it all just sort of go. It's all just sort of like spread out across the floor, and you're just kind of like pushing it all together into one lazy pile in the corner.
You want to call it lazy, fine, but I think it's lazy.
It's not. I am not sitting here telling you right now. I am not telling you that they're just going to, quote, figure it out. I see what I believe to be pieces and or enough talent to put it together. I do not know why they have not been able to figure it out to this point. And maybe at the end of the season, if they lose in the divisional round, if they lose in the AFC championship game, or I don't know how, but if they were to make the Super Bowl with the talent that they have and they lose, we could say, wow, I guess they just didn't have the hosses. I guess they just didn't have the pieces.
It's a personnel issue. That's all it is. And you're right. People are going to compare what happened this December to last December. Every year is different. But last December, the team had a better offensive line. Sonny Michel, for whatever the reason, was a lot more effective, whether it's because of his own individual skill set or that offensive line allowing him to have some room to maneuver.
Marcus Cannon had a better season. Shaq Mason had a better season. David Andrews is a better center. Trent Brown is a ginormous
man. Tom Brady was better.
Man Mountain. Tom Brady was a year younger. Fine. Sony Michel ran more decisively. James Devlin. Rob Ninkovich joined the show this week and told us, literally, a week and a half ago, I told you when we talked to Nick Wright and you said, oh, you should have gotten on him more. Ninkovich told us a week and a half ago the worst thing that happened to the season, in his estimation to date, was, then what kind of offense are you? Well, you're an offense that uses a fullback and relies on him. And they lost him. And also, they had not only the best pass catching, but the greatest blocking tight end in the history of the NFL, who just made the NFL 100 greatest players of all time list. None of those guys are here or playing at that capacity, so it should be a down season. So now you have to try to not be that team. You have to be the 2019 Patriots. You can't be the 2018 Patriots part two. You are the 2019 Patriots guy. Figure it the Foxborough out.
All right, so it is Sports Radio WEI. Listen, John, Mike, I see you guys on the line. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll get to your calls. And then I have to get into this whole Spygate 2.0 thing with Fitzy, because it's twofold. A, the league hasn't come down with whatever discipline the Patriots are going to receive. But I also think, we talked about this before, how I've said that I think the Patriots, Robert Kraft, haven't done themselves any favors when it comes to their negotiating power with Tom Brady in the offseason. This Spygate 2.0, if this isn't enough to convince Tom not only to walk away from the Patriots, but to go play elsewhere, just to stick it up the Patriots' ass a little bit next year, Spygate 2.0 might be the final catalyst that does that. Because now, this is the third cheating scandal. So during three different stages of Tom's career, all surrounded by multiple Super Bowl wins, by the way, but now this is the third time in his career that the Patriots' greatness, his greatness, has been questioned. He might just want to go see if he can be great somewhere else that might be, I don't know, free of cheating scandals, just for his own well-being before he walks away from the game. We'll get into that and more with you guys when we come back right here on the Oddballs on Sports Radio WEI.